Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, all of you beautiful people. How's 8:30 doing? All alive. Anybody starting to feel the December vibes? It's the 1st of December, everybody. Hang in there. Some of you are like, I've still got 2 weeks of work or 3 weeks of work. December's here. It is here. Christmas is around the corner. Carols is next week. It always feels like Thrive breathes a collective Christmas sigh at Carols, isn't it? It's kind of the moment where we all kind of go, Christmas is here. Well, good morning. Good morning. Well, good to be together, isn't it? Would you stand with me and let's take a moment. Let's prepare our hearts. You know, Advent, as Pastor Can mentioned, is all about preparation. And this morning we kick off a series. It's called Born for This. It's our Christmas theme for this year. So these next few weeks will be all about Born for This. But it's a time of preparation, and we've got 4 Sundays before Christmas. These are the Sundays of Advent in the church calendar. These are the Sundays where traditionally the church around the world, Christ followers, focus on preparing their hearts. In and amongst the madness and the craziness of the malls and the year-end functions and the prize givings and the office parties and the vibes that are going on, all amongst that, we take some moments. I just want to encourage you to find some silence, find some solitude each and every day of your life to prepare your hearts. Amen. So come, let's pray, and let's pray towards that this morning. Father, here we are. If you want to this morning, I want to encourage you to place your hand on your heart, because at the end of the day, we are here to connect with God. Father, have your will, have your way. May the reason why Christ was born, may it be real to us this Christmas like never before. I pray right now that as your word is preached, it would land into our hearts in ways that it hasn't done before. And that the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from being transformed into Jesus' likeness, that comes from following Jesus, I pray that that hope, that joy, that peace would come to us today at the start of this Advent season on the 1st of December. May it come to us like never before in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat. Brian Welsh is the founding member, one of the founding members and lead guitarists of a heavy metal band called Korn. If you hang around in heavy metal, or hang around in your BC days in heavy metal circles, you may know the name Korn. He founded the band with a couple of other band members. By 2003, he found himself in the deepest drug addiction pit. And he found himself completely and utterly addicted to methamphetamine. He would put it in Panado capsules, he would put it in anything that he could just to get a fix. He would start off the morning with a cup of coffee and then move on to crystal meth. And by 2005, he was in a deep, dark place. And it was in 2005 that he encountered Jesus. I'm going to show you a short clip. It's 2 minutes long. From Brian Welsh's testimony. Have a look at this and then I'll see you on the other side.
My real estate broker, Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ. At the church, I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. felt so much fatherly love from heaven. And it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love. And instantly, that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs. And I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn and I'm going to raise my kid. Because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that. And I was like, Janaea, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special. And God used her to save me, to save her.
Powerful story. Raises the question that I think every single one of us face, and that is that do we believe that we can change? Do we believe that we can be transformed? And you know, it may not be, and I may not be addicted to meth, but you know that thing about you that you wish you could change? Do you believe you can change and be changed? That anger that feels like a prison for you? That perfectionism that drives you crazy and others crazy? The weight of unforgiveness that you hold, that streak of selfishness or greed? The hold that money has over you? That struggle with the weakness, that addiction to a substance or to dopamine or to food or to porn? That shame that it feels like it can't be shaken, that striving? That finding of your identity in your work, that loneliness, that insecurity, do you believe you can change? It's a confronting question, isn't it? Do you believe that it can change? The good news is that it can change and we can change. Nobody is beyond change. We can learn how to live more and more free from those things that cause us to struggle. We can learn to become more and more like Jesus. The good news is that we can be forgiven, we can forgive, we can change, we can be transformed. That weight of unforgiveness, that streak of selfishness, that greed, that hold that money has over you, that struggle that you have with a weakness, that addiction to a substance or to your device or to dopamine or to food or to porn, that shame that seems like it can't be shaken, that perfectionism that drives you and others crazy, that striving, that finding of your identity and work, that loneliness, that insecurity, it can change. This is the reason Jesus was born. We say, why was he born? Born for what? Born for this. We can be transformed. That's the hope that we hold out as followers of Jesus. That's the hope that the gospel gives us. Are you with me? This is why John Wesley, you know, he was the founder of the Methodist Church. This is why his last uttered words, the words that he breathed on earth are so important for us. There was a lady called Bessie Ritchie. She wrote about how she watched John Wesley's final days and final hours, and she was with him as he passed away. He paused a little, and then with all the remaining strength he had, he cried out and he said this, "The best of all is God is with us." And then lifting up his dying arm in token of victory and raising his feeble voice with a holy triumph not to be expressed, again he repeated the heart reviving words, "The best of all is God is with us." God is with us. And because God is with us, because Christ came, because of the fact that Christ, his presence was and is with us, we can be transformed. We can change. The only reason and the only way a heart is transformed is when it encounters the God with us-ness of Jesus. Isaiah 7:14. God with us. Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? And then hear the famous text. All right, then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Those three words, God with us. I think possibly they are the three most important words in all of Scripture. Because it's those three words, church, that means we can change. It's because of those three words and only those three words that we can be transformed. If God was not with us, we can't change. It's only because God is with us. It's only because he came to earth that we can be transformed. And we are transformed. I want to offer it to us today. I think there are other ways, but I want to just offer us three ways today that you and me, sitting in the East Rand in 2024, on the 1st of December, God is with us in a certain way, and there are three ways that we are transformed. I think, firstly, we are transformed through the circumstances of life itself. Let me say, all three of these ways that I want to offer you today, they are anchored and centered in the fact that God is with us, that Christ came. Christ came, Christ lived, Christ died, Christ was resurrected, and Christ ascended. And all three of these ways are centered in his life. Centered in his death, centered in his resurrection, and centered in his ascension. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, it is because of Jesus' with us-ness that these three exist. The first way we see we're transformed is through the circumstances of life itself. It's so interesting, you know, because the person who wrote the book of James, the letter, the epistle James in the New Testament, it was Jesus' brother, James. Now, James writes this famous text. Come with me to it. He writes in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. And let's go to the message team, if you wouldn't mind, Al Bertram and Jalen. Let's go to the message paraphrase. He says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges and toxic bosses and the Christmas season and the busyness comes at you from all sides. Can I get some amens? He says, listen to the text. He says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Now, why am I reading you this text from James? I'm reading you this text from James because this same James was Jesus' brother, who for 33 years had watched his brother work through the mundane, the mediocre, the boring, the difficult, the routine, the rhythmic, the joy, the hardship, the struggle, the ordinariness. James had watched his brother Jesus in the carpentry shop, and he had watched him walk on water. He had watched him in the moments in synagogues having it out with Pharisees, and he'd seen him with blind people bringing back their eyesight. He had seen his brother raise the dead, and he'd seen his brother plane wood. Are you with me? There's something powerful about James's perspective because he had seen Jesus in the ordinary everyday life for 33 years. And from that, he sees, listen, don't try to get out of the ordinary. We are formed into Jesus's likeness in the Monday to the Saturday. Sunday's great, but how many of you know it's the Monday, it's the Tuesday, it's the Wednesday, it's in the drive to work, and it's the making of lunchboxes, and it's the meetings with the boss, and it's the exhaustion at the end of the day, and it's the feeling of, oh, I've got to do it all again the next day, and it's the joys of seeing your kids at a prize giving, and it's the promotion, and it's the retrenchment, and it's in the everyday mess of life that we're formed. Don't despise the everyday. Don't despise the boring. Don't despise the bland, the monotonous, the mundane, the challenging, the stressful, the difficult, the good, the joyful, the enjoyable. They are all stones along the path that God uses to form us. Maybe I can say it this way. It'll be on the screen. Everyday life is the path along which God makes us more like Jesus. Jesus became who he was by living in the ordinary day, everyday messiness of life. And so do you. Jesus got prepared for ministry in a house with siblings and in a carpenter's shop. The ordinary is where we are formed. Can I get some amens? The tests of patience, the mundane and the boring routine, the stressful situations, the challenges at work, the ups and downs of marriage, the difficult people in our lives, the health challenges, our own and our loved ones, they all form us and make us more like Jesus if, James says, we let them. The word for application for this point is simply allow. Allow life to happen to us. Because Jesus was formed in a carpenter's shop and he was formed in a house with siblings. Jesus was born for this. To remind us that he too existed in a household. He too grew up with brothers and sisters. He too knew what it was to do life and the rhythms of life. Allow. 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 You and I, we have no idea how we're being formed when we allow life to happen. And we don't allow life to happen like anchorless and rudderless. We don't allow life to happen like we're hopeless. We allow life to happen anchored to him each and every day. We'll get to more of that just now. Secondly, we're transformed through the Holy Spirit. God with us. Three words. The result of it means we can be changed and transformed. God with us, the everyday life that Jesus worked through himself, and so do we. God with us, the presence of Christ in our lives today through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says some of the most, the words that I'm about to give you now are some of the most liberating, some of the most important words in all of our theology, Thrive. When Christ ascended to heaven, as he prepared to ascend, he said to his disciples, I'm going, and as I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the helper, the advocate. It's good that I go, he says, because if I don't go, he can't come. So when I go, he comes. Are you with me? Christ has not left this earth. He has substituted his presence through the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in your life and in my life. And because of that, he is God with us now. Where we are right now, you have the Spirit of God, the very presence and essence of Christ in you right now. And because of that, we are transformed. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in the moment when we made a decision for Christ. Perhaps some of you can remember it. He is the one who, in that moment, the words that were being preached just brought life to you. He's the one that makes your palms sweaty. He's the one who makes your heart rate. He's the one who, when you wake up in the morning and you need scripture, he's the one doing that. He's the one that, when you read the Bible, something pops out at you. He's the one that, all of a sudden, when you're worshiping, you just find yourself to come upon with something. Are you with it? He's the one. The presence of the Holy Spirit will be on the screen, can always be recognized by the way he moves us towards what Jesus would be and who Jesus would, what he would do. The Holy Spirit moves us towards Jesus, who he is, and what he would do. The Holy Spirit moves us. Holy Spirit moves us towards Jesus, what he would do and who he would be. When we experience the sweetness and the power of life, when in the midst of whatever's going on in life, suddenly peace, suddenly a sense of joy, suddenly a sense of it is well with my soul, that sense that you have, that same sense that Jesus knew, is because of the Spirit of Christ. And he waits for us to invite him in. He goes, I see, it's like he hovers and he waits and he sees, I see each and every person here. I see what you're struggling with and I'm just hoping like crazy they'll invite me in so that I can quicken you, so that I can strengthen you, so that I can grace you, so that I can enable you, so that I can empower you, so that I can draw you towards Christ, so I can show you something from the scripture, so that when you're praying, I can prompt your spirit, so that I can renew your mind. Are you with me? He's the abiding presence of God. He is God with us. He is Christ with us in the 21st century, so that we don't have to have access to Jesus as he lived on this earth. We have access to him now. He resides in us. He is the one that transforms us. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Love, joy, peace. Come on, say it if you know it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How does it grow? Through him. We are transformed not only through the everyday, ordinary experience of life. We're transformed through the Spirit of Jesus in us, who forms a new character for us. The word for application, invite. How are we transformed? Through everyday life. What do we do there? Allow. We're transformed through the indwelling Spirit of Jesus. What do? Invite him. Even now, while I'm preaching, I mean, some of you want to buy Carol's tickets, I know that, but you could also do, you could, women can do three things at once. They can listen, they can pray, and they can buy Carol's tickets all in once. All the men, I just see you focused on me, you're just lazy. We are transformed, changed through the Holy Spirit, who forms the life of Christ. It's almost like if I could use an analogy, I'd reach over to Hein and I'd grab his heart out of his chest. And as the Holy Spirit takes his heart and massages it with the life of God. You with me? What do? Invite. Even now, you could invite him. Let me give you a text for that, 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed, as we're changed, as we're transformed into his what? His glorious image. You all okay? Third way we are transformed is through Jesus' life and words. We learn through Scripture. This is why Scripture is so important. This is why we do things like Bible Week. We learn through Scripture, friends, about Jesus' life and his words. Both are important. It's not only his life, but it's his words. It's not only his words, but it's life. Because it's from his life that we see the way he lived. It's from his words that we understand what he was about. Are you with me? It'd be on the screen. We learn from the words of Scripture. We learn to practice what Jesus preached and do what he did. We learn his words and we obey them. We look at his life and we copy it. So when, for example, we read that Jesus got up early every morning and went up the mountainside to pray, there's a clue about how you and I should live. It involves waking up earlier or staying up late. It involves a deprivation of sleep for a connection with God. Can I get some amens? That was very loud. You should see the 10:30. They won't amen that. They won't. No, they won't. When we see that Christ was not only by himself with his Father, but when we see that he knew the Scriptures, when we see that he responded to temptation with Scripture, that's the clue about how we could live. Are you with me? Solitude. These are not on the screen, but maybe you want to write them down if you're taking notes. Remember, Jesus loves you more if you take notes. Solitude. Study. Solitude, study, service. All the I Serve team people, all the lovely people that are serving in whatever way. You are doing what Jesus did. Why? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save. And how did he show it? He served. What did he do the night before he was betrayed? He took off his outer robe and he washed his disciples' feet. It's a clue to how we live. So I'm talking about solitude. I'm talking about study. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about generosity. I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about worship. Jesus goes, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. That's an indication that he's kind of saying that you will fast. Yeah. Are you with me? That's a clue. I hope this is landing in your hearts. That when you look at Jesus' life in Scripture, and Scripture is the pathway into his life, it's the ways through which we see him. Yes. Through his life and his words, we're transformed. Because the Spirit of God suddenly shows us, oh, Jesus fasted. Oh, Jesus served. Jesus was generous. Jesus studied. Jesus was alone. Jesus was in prayer. Are you with me? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. In view of all this, make every effort. Make every effort. And ours is not a passive faith. Ours is not a sit back and chill faith. We are saved by grace alone, but we are formed into the likeness of Christ through our efforts and through the grace of the Holy Spirit who forms us into the likeness of Jesus. Here's the thing. If you never fast, if you never give, if you never serve, if you never pray, if you never worship, you will look no different on the day you die one day than the day you gave your life supposedly to Jesus. You with me? It's not a passive faith. Make every effort, he goes. He doesn't go make some effort. He goes make every effort. Make every effort. How are we transformed? Through looking at the life and the words of Christ. The word for application is imitate. Imitate. In other words, look at Jesus' life and copy it. Let me show you how this works, all three factors together. One day I read this text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. And in that moment, so you could say in that way I was reading the words of Jesus, or I was reading Scripture, right? Those are Paul's words, but they're in Scripture. I'm reading Scripture. That's factor three of how we changed. The words and life of Christ, right? So I'm engaged in something. I'm making every effort. I read those words. Let your gentleness be evident to all. All of a sudden, I go, uh-oh. The Holy Spirit puts like a big red underline. You know, like your grade one teacher with a circle. And then they either give you a star or like my grade four teacher, Mrs. Treitsman, who used to write in my book, Slordig in Afrikaans. Untidy. It's like the Holy Spirit took a big red pen and said, let your gentleness be evident to all. And in that moment, I go, I'm not gentle in some ways. Now, I've read that text many times before, and I've had no sock with it or no suckle with it. But this time, Jesus goes, you're not very gentle. And then I think about all the ways in the preceding months that I've not been gentle. And the Holy Spirit grabs my heart. That's factor number two. Remember, the Holy Spirit. Can you see how all these factors? So I'm reading scripture. That's factor three. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit grabs me. That's factor two. Next thing you know, he gives me opportunities to be gentle through my ordinary everyday life. Factor one. Some days I pass the test. Some days I don't. But the ordinary everyday life is the only place that gentleness gets a chance to be evident or not. Are you with me? How else do I practice scripture if it's not through the ordinary everyday life? I hope you're seeing today why God gives us ordinary everyday life. Because it's the moment where we get to put into practice that which Jesus invites us into and that which the Holy Spirit grabs us about and invites us into, convicts, challenges, comforts, whatever. That's the time. One little text, let your gentleness be evident to all. All of a sudden, it jumps out at me. That's the Holy Spirit. It convicts me. That's the Holy Spirit. I now get an opportunity to practice gentleness. That's everyday life. Can you see all three factors coming together? How we're transformed through the everyday, ordinary lifeness of life. Secondly, through the Holy Spirit, who quickens, who challenges, who convicts, who comes alongside, who is the presence of Christ in me. And he goes, oh, you're not so gentle, are you? And through the words of Scripture. I hope today this gives you a window into how it is that we are transformed. Firstly, we're transformed through the everyday ordinariness of life. Scripture says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. I say, don't despise the ordinary day. What do? We allow. We are transformed through the presence of Christ within us, the Holy Spirit, who forms us and massages our heart into the life of God and the likeness of God. What do? Invite. And thirdly, we are transformed through what? Through the likeness, or through the words and the life of Jesus. What's the word for application? Imitate. What's the goal? What's the reason? So that we look like Jesus. So that 1 year from now, I look more like Christ in the way I act, and I love like Jesus more than what I did a year ago. Are you with me? So that I react and respond differently, so that I have deeper levels of compassion, so that my generosity has had a chance to be developed, so that I'm more patient, more evident. Maybe I could say it this way. What's the goal? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you be changed? Can you change? Can I change? We can. We can. Allow everyday life. Invite the Holy Spirit and imitate what you see in Scripture. It might happen fast. It might happen slow. There might be seasons of rapid growth, seasons of stagnation. But one day you'll get 5 years down the line and you'll say, I am a different person. Amen. Come, let's take a moment and pray. This morning, it's my joy and privilege to invite you to life with Jesus, to invite you to come to Jesus and to give him your life. How do you be transformed? Well, it starts with giving your life to Jesus. It starts with giving your life to Christ. It starts with you saying, Jesus, here's my life. I give it to you. Have your will and have your way in my life. Do what you need to do. Lead my life, guide my life. Church, we're so clear at Thrive, we really use this language often, and it's so that we're all really clear. When we say, what does it mean to give our lives to Jesus? It means to make him Lord and Savior. Lord of our lives means that he matters here on earth to us, that we follow his words, we follow what he does, we follow what he teaches. We follow his life, we imitate his life. But it also means that we trust him for the forgiveness of our sins and the cleansing of our sins. It means that one day when we cross over into eternity, he is the one who says, I know this one. They gave their life to me on the 1st of December, 2024. They trusted me for the forgiveness of their sins. So if that's you this morning, I'd love the great privilege of leading you in a moment of prayer. If you want to give your life to Jesus, what a great time to do that. The 1st of December, as you head into the festive season, what a great time to do this. Be my joy and privilege to pray for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. And the way you respond is simply by raising your hand. I'll get to a count of three. That's just so that everybody knows this is the moment to respond. And as I do so, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'll see you. I'll just say thank you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm just simply going to ask you to show me your hand. I'll say thank you, and then I'll pray for you. Ready? On the count of three, that's you this morning. You want to invite your life to Christ and say yes to him. Thank you. Hands going up already. Let me get to it. One, two, three. Hands up across this place if that's you. Thank you up in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you, sir, at the back. Thank you up in the balcony. Thank you at the back. Just raise your hands nice and high so I can see you. Thank you, ma'am, over here in the middle. Thank you, sir, on the side, my left. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. I can see you in the balcony. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? I want to see you. Thank you, ma'am. Young lady at the back, I can see you. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Come, let's pray together, Thrive. Will you help me be the church this morning? Let's pray together. Say, Father God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you sent Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you were born for this, to be my Lord, my Savior, to be God with us. This morning, I give my life to you. Forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me. Wash me clean. Holy Spirit, fill me in this moment. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come church, let's celebrate with every single person who made that decision this morning. Awesome. Awesome.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.